McKinney and I got married. I got married with a burden to provide a house for my family, as everybody does, and be able to purchase it specifically. A lot of ministers back in the 1960s, 1970s, 1980s, they had a parsonage that was provided for them. And so as they got to retirement years, they didn't own a house. So going into ministry, I thought, you know, and right, they always taught this, you got to be able to be trying to get yourself into a home and owning a home. And so that was one of my things I was worried about. But, you know, looking back, I felt like it took a while to own a home, but God graciously allowed us the opportunity, just a couple years into our marriage, to be able to purchase a house. And in the way God did that is by providing a no down payment loan that we could get through the government. And so we didn't have to come up with any savings or anything like that, except we had to pay closing costs. I've shared stories about that before. There's some miracles that God did to even allow us to come up with money for that. But there were three unusual thoughts that I had as we bought the property, thoughts that were really of God. One was this: we could split the side garden off to be a separate buildable lot. We bought the house. I remember asking the estate agent, does the side garden come with it? I mean, it had this large side garden that was there. Really, if you look at the property that we're on right now, our house was that big or bigger than that, maybe twice even as big as that piece of property that was there beside the house. And so I looked at that and thought, you know, that could be a separate lot. And I don't know why I had that thought, except for God. And then we looked in the garage, and it was a big garage. In fact, 750 square foot garage. If you don't know that, that's big, all right? You park three cars in there if you did it just right. And I said, okay, you know what? We could add on into this, and we could add some rooms into the garage. Now, I'm not a builder. I've never built anything. So again, I just say that thought was of God, because that was not me. The third thought came later, and it was this: if we do make that side garden a separate buildable lot, and we do sell it, and God does call us some additions, then I'm gonna take the proceeds from that, and I'm gonna buy a mobile caravan that our family could use as a house. And these are just things that God put in my heart. But as I was praying about that, it was a big faith step to think about splitting off that property. That property was going to cost me about $2,000 back then to try to split it. I had to get it surveyed. I had to get it rezoned. It was expensive. Expenses that I couldn't just, I mean, I might have had back then, I'm just going to guess, maybe I had $3,000. So I take almost all my savings and risk it to be able to split that property, and with no guarantee. So it's a big faith step. God used this text, Jeremiah chapter 32, about Jeremiah's faith purchase, to encourage me to take that step of faith. And Jeremiah 32, verse 24, Jeremiah is buying land in a war zone. He's buying land in a city that's being taken captive. And the Bible says, Jeremiah 32, verse 24, "Behold, the mouse, they are come up unto the city to take it, and the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it, because of the sword, and of the famine, and of the pestilence. And what thou hast spoken has come to pass, and behold, thou seest it. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy me the field of money, and take witnesses, for the city is given into the hands of the Chaldeans." And this would be like somebody in our day right now. This is a very sad current event taking place, but somebody buying the British embassy in Kabul, believing that Britain's going to go back and reestablish that outpost in Afghanistan, and that they're going to be able to keep that in the way that it is right now, through all the occupation that the Taliban are going to put upon it. I mean, just to give us kind of a modern day example of what's taking place. Jerusalem is about to be taken hostage by a hostile enemy that's going to have that place in captivity for 70 years. And God says to Jeremiah, I want you to buy a piece of property here as a testament that houses and lands are going to again be owned by Israelites in this place. It's a big faith step that Jeremiah is going to take. You know, some men of God have obtained some land by faith for God's glory. There are a lot of stories like that in the Bible. Think about Caleb. Caleb, as a 40-year-old, was a spy that went into that promised land. He came back, he was a good spy, 10 bad spies. He and Joshua alone stood and said, God can do this. If God be for us, you know, we'll take it. Let's go if it wants to possess it. But we are well able to overcome it. But the people rebelled against God. But God promised that Caleb would keep the strength of his youth for those 40 years. And at 80, he comes to Joshua. As they're going to go back into the promised land, he says to Joshua, now therefore give me this mountain, this piece of land, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I should be able to drive it out, as the word said. It's a faith step. He said, if God's with me, I can take this. Jonathan, remember that story I preached on it recently, where he's looking across at the garrison of the Philippines, and he sees that piece of land, and he goes, you know what, God can help us take that. He says to his armor bearer, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us faith, for there's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. I want to encourage us tonight, as God directs, to buy some land by faith. As a church, we're in an interesting position right now. We might actually buy some land by faith. It might be what God has for us, that he has us build a church building. We're at a step of faith. We're looking at a new rental property. I believe that's probably where God has us. We're going to make that decision very quickly. That's a step of faith to transition. But it's a step of faith maybe for somebody today to look at their life and say, you know what? God's speaking my heart about getting saved. God's speaking my heart about getting baptized. God's speaking my heart about church membership. God's speaking about my heart about dealing with sin and getting rid of this something that's a stronghold in my life. God's speaking my heart about tithing. God's speaking my heart about evangelism. God's speaking my heart about being a more effective verbal witness for God. It could be so many things tonight. But I want to encourage us that we take that step and we obey God. And we buy that land by faith, just like Jeremiah did. As God directs, let's go buy a field by faith. Let's pray, ask the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts tonight as we come to the Word of God. Father, we're grateful for the Word of God. We thank you that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And Father, we pray for that tonight. We pray that each one of us would have our hearts encouraged. Father, I pray that we take the challenge. I pray that we wouldn't look around. It was just Joshua and his armor bearer. Father, it doesn't take an army. It just takes people that will step up and say, you know what, I'll buy that land by faith. I'll be that testimony. I'll be that witness, just like Jeremiah. So, Father, would you speak to us tonight from what we see Jeremiah doing, if we understand it was a lot of faith, and the truth of God that he obeyed. And, Father, I pray for that obedience tonight. I pray, God, that in our hearts right now, we just say, God, whatever you want to do in my life tonight, in this service, God, have your way. And, Father, we pray for that. We pray that will be done on earth, here at Free Baptist Church. Father, that you would speak. I pray that you would work. Father, we need revival. And Father, there's some important steps that we've got to take as a church. And I pray, by the grace of God, that we take them by faith, with courage. And Father, we pray that we find the faithfulness of God, seeing us through these things. And Father, I can't speak as I ought to speak. I pray that the Spirit of God would help me to have liberty tonight as I preach the truth of the Word of God. I pray that you give us ears to hear. Father, we pray for the grass. We pray for Mrs. Shore in the class there. And we praise you for how you've worked in the lives of our children in recent days. God, we continue to do that. And so, Father, when you're there, we pray for the blessing of God, pray for the power of God, pray for the hand of God to be very evident. It's in Christ that we pray. Amen. All right, so as God directs, I want to encourage us, go by a field by faith. And first thing tonight, as we think about this, is first of all, get your directions from God. Get your directions from God. God directs Jeremiah very specifically to go ahead and buy this field. And so the Bible says in verse 6, Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, Hananiel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, buy me my field that's in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. Okay, so here Jeremiah is, and God comes to him. And God's going to give a little heads up. Something's going to happen pretty soon. Jeremiah, I want you to know about it. I want you to be thinking about it ahead of time. Why? Because God wants Jeremiah to act upon it. There's something that God desires Jeremiah to do, so God's going to get him thinking about it. His cousin Hananel is going to come, and he wants him to be watching for him to come, thinking there might be something to this when Hananel gets there. Do you know what I see in the Word of God is that God often brings things to somebody's mind before it comes to pass, so that when it comes to pass, there's an understanding that this is of God, so that they know that they're to act upon that which God has already spoken to their heart about. Think about Peter as he's up on that that rooftop in Joppa. We understand the story. We know what's happening in the story. Cornelius, a Gentile, has been burdened about finding God, and he's worshiping God, but not according to the gospel. He doesn't know about Jesus Christ. And so God says, send to Peter. Well, Peter's a Jew. Peter's not going to want to go to the Gentiles. God's going to have to prepare Peter in his heart to understand this is of God when these Gentiles knock at his door and invite him to come. And you remember the story, a sheep comes down from heaven. On the sheep, there are unclean animals. And he says to Peter, Peter, arise and eat. It's a trance, it's a vision, it's not real, but he sees it as if it's real. Arise, Peter, kill and eat. He goes, not so, Lord, for I've never touched something that's unclean. It's dirty. It's contaminated. I don't want to become unclean. And God says, what I have cleansed, that call on that common. Peter, I cleansed it. And three times that sheep goes up and down. And Peter is thinking about that. And then the Spirit of God comes to him. And the Spirit says this, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So what did he do? God prepared Peter by having thinking about something before it ever happened, so that when it happens, he's prepared for it, so that he responds according to what God desires him to do, and that is go with the men so that he can witness to Cornelius and see Cornelius get saved. You know, Jesus, again, often spoke ahead of time with his disciples just to assure them that when things happen, that was of God. John 13, verse 18. He said, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it's come to pass, you may believe that I am he. And so God said, the Lord said to them, I just want to prepare you, somebody here is a traitor. Somebody here is going to betray me, and I just want to tell you before it happens, that when it happens, you understand that that was of God, that God had that was God's will. John 14, verse 28, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, and my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Alright, I'm going to depart. I just want to prepare you for that. So when it happens, there's faith in your heart. You go, this is of God. We're right where God wants us to be, doing right what God wants us to do. This is okay. It's not out of control. It's happening just as God intended. How did he do it? He spoke to them before it came to pass so that they would know that it was of him. You know, I'm not being mystical tonight to say that the God that spoke audibly to Jeremiah is the God that has the ability tonight to speak to any one of us in any way that he desires to communicate to us what he intends for us to do, and to ask us to do steps of obedience that are going to take faith, but that we know are of God because God spoke to us. How does God speak to us tonight? Well, God speaks to us, first of all, through his word. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It says this, for this cause also thank thee God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Okay, it effectually works. How does it work? It's like this. man, the Word of God is being preached, and all of a sudden, Scripture is speaking to the hearts of somebody, and it's hitting them, right? Because the Word of God has three quarters. Who allowed that? God. Right? So God does tonight, praise God, in the preaching of the Word of God, or the reading of the Word of God, God does speak through His Word. And as specifically as to prepare us to be thinking about something, even as He did in the life of Jeremiah, so that we're thinking, maybe tonight I need to get saved, maybe tonight I need to get baptized, maybe tonight I need to be faithful to God, obey God, and take steps of obedience towards God. God speaks through His Word. But then God also speaks to us by His Spirit. John 16, verse 13. Says, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. The Spirit of God doesn't speak out with the Word of God, but by the Word of God, the Spirit of God instructs us very specifically, speaking to us the truth of the Scripture. God's Spirit speaks. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit Himself beareth witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. If I'm saved tonight, then I've got the Spirit of God saying to me in my heart, you are saved. Now, how does He do that if He can't communicate? You understand, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not a force. He's not a power. He's a person. He resides within us if we're saved. And being inside of us, He's got that ability to speak to our hearts very specifically. Back when I was in college at Bob Jones University, God was speaking my heart about several important things, decisions that would deeply impact my life. God was speaking my heart about ministry. I was a PK, pastor's kid. I didn't want to go into the ministry just because my dad was in the ministry or that ministry was familiar to me. I didn't have any ambition to go into the ministry, if you know my testimony. But I did. From a spiritual standpoint, I have said to God, God, whatever you want me to do with my life, I would do, even if that means preaching. But God didn't call me to preach until after my sophomore year. But my sophomore year, I was a Bible major because the Spirit of God was preparing me. Get me thinking about it. You know, that's all right. I talked to my dad. I said, counsel for my dad. And I said, you know, it's not going to be wasted if you're a Bible major. I said to my dad, I don't know if God's called me to preach yet. But that was okay. It was what I needed. God prepared me for that. God spoke to my heart about church planting. My favorite class at Bob Jones University was my church planting class. All right, where I went in there and they taught us about starting a church and what we needed to think about and consider. That was my favorite class that I had. And God was speaking to my heart about that. You know, I don't want to be overly mystical tonight, but what are you thinking about? What is the Spirit of God maybe putting on your heart, a decision that needs to be made? And would you ask yourself the question tonight, is that God? Is that God? Is God speaking to me about something? Is there a step that He wants me to consider? Is there something that He wants me to do? What is God speaking to my heart about? You know, again, that's something we ought to consider tonight as we consider getting our direction from God. But then secondly, confirm your directions from God. Confirm your directions from God. God told Jeremiah ahead of time what would happen, and it did. Alright, so we see that in the story. He said it, then it takes place. So confirm that it's from God. The Bible says in verse 8, so Hananiel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that's in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin. For the right of inheritance is thine, and redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. Okay, you ask yourself as you read it, how did he know? Well, the Spirit of God came and said, your cousin is going to come, he's going to offer you the opportunity to buy this field. When it happened, Jeremiah said, this is of God. God says, God's leading in this. I was reading an article on the BBC News about a World War II operation. It was called Operation Mincemeat. It's a very interesting deception that the Allies did against Hitler. And the story is this. They took a body of a homeless Welsh alcoholic who had committed suicide. Into his pockets, they put an identity card, ticket stubs, and mementos from a fiance. Chained to his wrist was a briefcase containing a letter marked personal and most secret, identifying Greece for invasion by Allied forces. Greece was a dummy target. The real plan was to invade Sicily. When found floating this body near the port of Kulba, the corpse was assumed to be a British military courier who perished in a plane crash. After 10 weeks or so, it took the Germans several attempts to get sight of the briefcase's contents, but photographs of falsified documents made it to Hitler's desk. He was fooled and moved an entire Panzer division, 90,000 soldiers, to Greece. 90,000 soldiers were tricked by the Allies from a false directive to get them to go to Greece instead of Sicily, which was the target that Allies were going to hit. You know, Satan is a good tactician. Satan would love tonight to counterfeit God's messages in such a way that we would make a wrong decision because we falsely think that it's of God. Now, we got to be very careful about that. We got to make sure tonight that we understand it's of God. Let me say this. If it's a decision about salvation, it's clear. If it's a decision about sin, it's clear. We don't have to go to point two here because point one, God speaking to us, we understand if it's directly from the Bible, thus saith the Lord, we get that tonight and we say that's of God. But there might be other areas in our life where God's speaking to us about surrender, about a life change, about ministry, about missions. There could be other things, so maybe even about housing or about, you know, things that the Bible doesn't say by that house over there, 2 First Road on Clark Street, right? We got to discern it somehow. We got to understand that this is God leading in this. How do we understand that tonight? We got to have God confirm that to our hearts. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world." So, Satan again, he loves nothing better than to deceive somebody. And it could be tonight, God saying to somebody, "You need to get saved." Satan comes along and says, "You don't need to get saved. You can be in this works religion where just good people go to heaven. Or this contemporary religion that's a false church. Come and go this way. We got to try the spirits." To say, what is consistent? How do I understand that this is of God? Well, I want to point out to us tonight that there's at least 3 tools that God has given to us to help us understand whether or not it's Him speaking to us. And so tonight, first of all, use the most obvious thing, use the tool of God's Word. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So I want God's leading through my life. The Word of God shines down at where I'm standing, and the Word of God shines ahead where I'm going. It gives me direction. It gives me God's direction through my life. So the first thing I need to do is take what I say is of God and test it with the Word of God. My wife told me this week of a man that is an evangelist, and I can name them, that we heard preach about 12, 13 years ago. He's a great preacher. And I looked at him and I thought, God has blessed you. God has rescued you from a life that was a life of sin and things that he was in before he got saved. But God miraculously changed his life. But he's divorced his wife. He's changed to contemporary music and contemporary ministry. If you saw the webpage, it looks like something of a pub, not something of Christ. This man continues in the ministry, remarried to another woman, acting as if everything is fine. You know what? I know it's not fine, and I know it's not according to the will of God, though I believe this man would definitely say this is of God. This is not of God, because the Bible said the idea of till death do us part. If he be dead, she's free to be married to whomever she will in the Lord. But death is what ends a marriage. Minister is to be blameless. The Bible says love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I don't have to wonder, should I go to that man's church? I can just go to that church according to the Bible and say, God's Word forbids me to go to something like that. And so test it with the Word of God. The Spirit of God is never going to violate God's Word. And then secondly, another tool that God's given to us. God's given us the tool of prayer. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, great verses about finding God's will for your life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Well, how do I practically do that? How do I trust in the Lord? How do I not give in to my own understanding? I do that in prayer. Just like Jesus did. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? What did He pray? He said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He committed himself to the Lord. And that's what the Bible speaks about. It says in Proverbs, or Psalm 37, verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So even as a church, aren't we in that place of waiting? We know the will of God is that we get it properly. God's directed us that way. But now we're just praying and saying, God, what properly? And so that's part of where we're at even as a church. We need to pray, we need to get the Word of God. The third thing, tool that God's given to us is godly counsel. God's given us parental counsel. God's given us pastoral counsel or some other godly person that God's put into our lives that can give us counsel. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 18, every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. All right? I smile on that verse because I quoted that in a counseling class when they asked for verses about marriage. Every purpose is established by counsel and good advice make war. All right? It just means that, you know, to make a big decision like that, it's good to say to somebody that's God, like, hey, what do you think about this? I'm burdened about this. I'm kind of thinking about this. I feel like God's leading this way, but what would you say? What would you say to me about that? You know, back when I was at college age and getting ready to go to college, I went to Bob Jones University. The reason I went to Bob Jones is because of parental counsel. First of all, I didn't want to go to college. I just could have ended it right there at high school. My parents encouraged me to go to college. They also encouraged me to get my master's degree, which God allowed me to do. I went to Bob Jones because my mom and dad wanted me to go there. If I was going to go to college, I want to go to a small school. But God used parental counsel to take me to Bob Jones. And if my kids tonight, I say, hey, praise God, Dad got some counsel before he went to college because that's where I met my wife. Everything in my life, right, we just think about how many things would be different if I hadn't followed the counsel that God gave to me. And so God directs us. We need to know it's God. And so we test it and we ask God, God, confirm this. I'm burdened about this. I'm thinking about this. God, is this you? Or is this just me thinking about this? Is this a burden or is this a call, perhaps? And as we pray about that, and once God confirms that, the third thing tonight is follow your directions from God. Follow your directions from God. God speaks to our heart. We begin to think about it. We begin to pray about it. Get the Word of God about it. And God's working. God confirms it in our heart. Then the third thing is follow it. Follow your directions from God. It says in verse 9, and I bought the field of Hananiel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed in the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took witnesses and weighed in the money and the balances. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and the custom, and that which was open. And I gave the evidence of the purchase of the Barak, the son of Neriah, the son of Messiah, in the sight of Hananiel, my uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the purchase, the book of the purchase, well, for all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. Okay, Jeremiah made it a done deal. He didn't do it in some back forms and shady deal. He didn't sit down, let's transact. He did it in public as it was to be done. He did it formally. He put it in the book. He said, this thing, this transaction is complete. You know, sometimes at a church we'll have an invitation because that's an opportunity to say, I'm going to make this decision for God. I'm not just going to talk about it. The saying is this, put your money where your mouth is. I mean, the last thing we want is a politician promising money to education, promising money to roads, promising money to all these things. Then they get in office, they do nothing. Talk is cheap. Put your money where your mouth is. But tonight, the amazing thing, Jeremiah could have bragged about, he's going to take this big step of faith. God spoke to him about taking this big step of faith. He's going to take that big step of faith. But rather than say it, Jeremiah just went ahead and did it, because it's easy to brag about what we'll do. It's another thing to step out and say, I'm going to do this for God. George Mueller, we're reading his biography right now in our family. And George Mueller, great man of faith. A man that had at one point 2,500 orphans under his care, providing completely for them by faith. At one point, they needed a new property. There were 10,000 pounds that were needed. And so Mueller found a 7-acre site, and the story is this. Mueller then prayed for the land on which to build and was guided to a 7-acre site in Ashley Down, surrounded by fields. On sale at 200,000 acre, he went to the landowner's home to speak to him, but was told that the owner was at his place of business. Mueller duly went there to be told that the owner had returned home. Mueller returned to his own home, having left his car. The following morning, the landowner called to say that he had a sleepless night and believed that God was telling him to sell the land to Mueller for 120 pounds an acre instead of 200. In 1845, Mueller entered into a contract for the purchase of 7 acres of ground at 120 pounds per acre for the accommodation, feeding, clothing, and education of 300 destitute and orphan children. That's him stepping off of a side street where they had 4 old orphan homes that were smaller, him looking by faith at what God desired to do, and not just saying, I believe God wants me to do it, but stepping out by faith and making a transaction for property that they wouldn't begin to build upon until they had all the money in hand, and God supplied incredibly. And just within a few years, they had these incredible orphan houses built to the glory of God. But tonight, again, as we think about it, the Spirit of God speaks to our heart. Whatever that the Spirit of God speaking to us about, we test it with the Word of God, and we see, yes, this is of God. And as we get to that point, by God's grace, we got to step forward as a church, as an individual, as a family, and say, yes, Lord, I step out in obedience to God. We've got to follow our directions from God after we confirm it and we receive it. Then fourth tonight, believe your directions from God. Believe your directions from God. You know, as you read this story, Jeremiah is too old to profit from this. I mean, he's buying land that he's never going to get to enjoy. He's never going to get to live there. 70 years are going to pass before they get back into the land, and yet by faith, Jeremiah obeys God and buys it. And so verse 13 says, I charge Barak before them, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Again, Jeremiah didn't just say, I believe God. Jeremiah showed he believed God, and he testified that God is going to do what God said he would do. He says to them, you know what? Take that testimony, that witness, and put it in a clay vessel that it can last and withstand these years, be protected against moths, be protected against other things, so that in the future it will testify to what God said would happen has indeed happened. Back when I was in 2017, I had the opportunity to go to Israel, and there in Israel we saw Qumran. And Qumran is where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found by that Bedouin shepherd as he entered into that cave, and there 2,000 years after they had been put in clay pots and put into that place of seclusion, that arid desert air preserved them so that we, 2,000 years later, could carefully open them up and still have the contents preserved. And Jeremiah says, it's going to be many days. Put them in these clay vessels so that many days from now, they will testify to what God said would happen, had indeed happened. You know, as we think about that tonight, sometimes, or with Jeremiah, I just wonder if somebody didn't come to Jeremiah at some point and say, you know what, Jeremiah, Do you really think that this is going to happen? Jeremiah's been 20 years. It's been 30 years, Jeremiah. It's been 40 years. We understand God has revealed very specifically to Jeremiah that it would be 70 years, and yet Jeremiah kept his faith in God. Why? Because Jeremiah not only had accepted that God had directed him to do this, and taken it, he believed it by faith. He continued by faith. I've shared my favorite saying many times. I hope our church someday will be able to say it without me saying it. And that's that Puritan saying, never doubt in the dark what God is showing you in the light. Why? Because this is going to be tested. I've shared this story before, but when our family got called into missions, there was a Sunday that we were supposed to go and have our camp orientation take place. And that morning, very early in the morning, we were awakened by the dog barking, and there were people outside. I looked outside, we were getting teepee, and I told the people we went up into our trees, and all that was taking place, and I heroically jumped off the porch and started taking off, chasing these kids down. Found out it was some college students that we knew that had done that. The police came and other things, because my wife called the police because I had taken off running away from the house. The police came. Then it all taken place during the night. I get up that morning, I teach Sunday school, I've been singing. Pastor Clark is up, he's praying for the service, and he says, remember to pray for the shores that they don't doubt the will of God and his call to Scotland. And I am sure if you saw me at that moment, I had a smirk on my face. Because I thought, it's so clear. It's beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know that God's called us. I'll never doubt it, but that day was a very tough day. We drove several hundred miles, about 7 to 8 hours, got over to camp that night, got to camp, found out my grandma had passed away. Found out we couldn't stay for camp. Found out we had to fly to Colorado for a funeral. It was back before we had a mobile phone. We had to buy a mobile phone so we could communicate. We contacted and get the wrong airport. As you know, I've shared this story before. And we finally get to the airport. We go to the wrong airport, miss our plane, have to get another plane. There were other things taking place, and there was turmoil. And the call of God was being tested. And see, as the Spirit of God begins to speak to your heart, you need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is God, this is what God has. And then, by grace, say, I'm going to believe God. And I'm going to stand with God in this, because God made it so abundantly clear that even in the testing time, I can look back and say, I still know that God's God. And so tonight, you need that. As the Spirit of God speaks to your heart, especially in the will of God, you're moving forward, saying, I want to serve God. I want to do more for God. I want to get more involved for God. I want to do better with what I have for God. You take those steps, and Satan's got your number, and Satan will attack, and it's going to be tested, and you've got to stand by faith. And so get your directions from God. Confirm your directions from God. Follow your directions from God. And then lastly tonight, it's going to take us a few minutes, but believe your directions from God. I'm sorry, claim your directions from God. Claim your directions from God. And by that, I just mean claim them in prayer. God said it, you believe it, you accepted it, you obeyed it, and you get to the point of trusting God for it, but then continue to go to God and say, God, I am just here by faith, trusting you for this. Now the Bible says in verse 16, now when I delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying. And I love that in the story. I love that about this scripture. I mean, you're reading a man of God taking a step of faith. And he does it, and he gets on his knees. Why? Because it is a step of faith. It's not something that Jeremiah was an easy thing, and perhaps took savings that he couldn't afford to give. It was investing in nothing. It's nothing that he could enjoy. He only did it in obedience to God, and so he gets to this point, and he gets on his knees. He says, I'm going to claim this before God. As he does that, I want to point out that he basically says to God, in effect, God, you are powerful. God, you are personal. God, you are notable. God, you are wonderful. God, you are historical. God, you are providential. God, you are faithful. And he just lifts it up before God. And so tonight, as we're going to claim this before God, we need to claim God's power. It says in verse 17, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for thee. Jeremiah took a step of faith, and he looked like, he's risking everything kind of to obey God. And as he goes to prayer, he just says, God, I did this because you're powerful. God, there's nothing too hard for you. God, it's totally, totally under your power. You know, I wonder tonight how many people can't obey God because they don't see God's power. They might look at their life and think, I can't get saved because I can't give up the sin. I'm sure there's people like that. They think, I'm too bound by the sin. I can't get saved. Maybe they think, I can't even believe. Or something like that. I mean, they're looking at it as if I'm limited. I can't do this. I'm impotent to do this. But what they need to do is obey God. And believe in God's power, right? To help them. To get rid of victory of the sin. To help them to make that decision of faith. There could be people that I know definitely don't get baptized because they're scared of water. Or they're scared of getting up in front of people. They're letting their fear keep them from obeying God. And they're not obeying God because of their lack of faith in the power of God. They might not give to God's work because they let themselves say, I can't afford to give. I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to give offerings. Because I can't afford it. Instead of looking at God and saying, you know, God's got the power to provide for me. He's the one that gives me everything that I have. He's the one that blesses my resources. And so, seeing, therefore, the power of God. Somebody could say tonight, I can't surrender to ministry because I don't have the ability. But the thing is, tonight, when we understand that God is a powerful God, that God can do all things, so that whatever it is tonight, the Spirit of God's feet, our hearts bow, whether it's salvation or baptism or tithing or a surrender, that we can say to God, God is greater than that. God is able to meet the need. So claim God's power, go to prayer, make that decision of faith, and then just cast yourself on God and say, God, you've got to help me through this. Claim God's power. But then claim God's mercy and his justice. Verse 18 says, Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. Okay, Jeremiah looks at it and says, God, you bless them and you judge them. But whether they're blessed or judged, it's God that's over that. God, you're a God of mercy and you're a God of justice. You're not going to get it wrong. Why were they going into captivity? Because of their sin. Why were they going to come out of captivity? Because of God's mercy. God in his mercy was going to do it. But it was just Jeremiah looking up and saying, God, you're going to get this right. And so tonight, again, as we think about taking a faith step, we can be confident that God's going to get it right. That his mercy and justice are there to make sure that it works out rightly. Claim God's mercy and his justice. And then claim God's name. God's name. It says in verse 18, the great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name, great in counsel and mighty in work. All right, we're talking about a faith step. Wouldn't it be nice to take a faith step and understand that God was with you? There's a story online, you can read about it, of some young people in the United States. They were shooting hoops out in the street. They're playing basketball. Well, a neighbor called and complained about that, and a policeman came. This man's name was Bobby White. And Bobby White gets there, rather than reprimand the kids and say, get out of the street, he takes off his jacket or something, and he gets out there and starts shooting hoops with those kids. Well, they shot a video of it, and it has like 50 million views online very quickly. And Shaquille O'Neal, a very famous basketball player, a legendary basketball player, contacted that policeman, went with that policeman, played basketball with those kids, encouraged them, gave them all $100, and said, I came from where you're at. You can get to where I'm at. Just believe it. You can do it. Pumped them up. Got them excited. And if I was a kid, I was playing basketball, and I had Shaquille O'Neal, I can't even reach up high enough. on my team, I just think, you know what, we're going to win. We're going to win. I want to remind us tonight, we've got some big faith steps to take as a church. We've got big faith steps maybe to take as a family. Big faith steps maybe to take as an individual. But we've got the legendary God on our side. Great in power, great in might, the Lord of hosts is His name. So what do we expect? Great counsel and mighty works, because God is with us. So let's claim that in prayer. If God be for us, who can be against us? And then claim God's observation, His observation. It says in verse 19, "For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doing." You know, Jeremiah didn't have to go. God, did you see that? God, were you paying attention? God, were you aware as I came, Dad? Did you see that, God? He didn't have to say that. Because God absolutely saw it. I love reading the book of Nehemiah as he goes to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And they get there and the great things are happening. But several times, Nehemiah says this. He says in Nehemiah 13, verse 14, "Remember me, O my God, concerning this." Verse 22, "Remember me, O my God, concerning this." Chapter 13, verse 31, "Remember me, O my God, for good." What's he saying? He's saying, God, you see this? You see it? And I want just to encourage us tonight, you take a step of faith. If it's salvation, God sees it. If it's baptism, God sees it. If it's church membership, God sees it. If it's evangelism, God sees it. If it's surrender, God sees it. If it's victory over sin and setting aside sin, it's a step of faith, God sees it. So what? God's got it. And claim it. Claim it in prayer. God, you see, we're good at it as a church. We might buy a piece of property, really. It'll be a step of faith if we do that. But when we do, we can be confident. Hey, God, you see this? We're taking a step of faith. God, you understand, but I take, thou must undertake. God, you've got to do it. But God, you see this. Claim God's observation. And then claim God's control. God's control. For sake of time, I won't read it, but if you read later, verses 20 through 24, Jeremiah just goes back and goes, this is how you set Israel free from Egypt. You brought us into this land. We disobeyed you, and now you cast us out of the land. But what he's pointing out is this. You are in control when we were in Egypt. You are in control bringing us out of Egypt. You are in control when we got in the land. You're in control as we go into bondage because of our sin against you. God, in all of this, your providence is seen. And so for us tonight, what is it? Hey, I praise God tonight that as a pastor, yeah, we're going through it. We're going to make some big decisions by faith. But God is over it all. God is over this property. God is over the next property that we're going to rent. God is over the future property that we're going to buy by His grace and by His provision. In everything, we'll be able to look back and say, God was there, God was there, God is here, God is there. And as we take a step of faith, we can take it with confidence because God's got it, because God is a providential God. And we can go to prayer about that, claiming God's control. And then claiming God's plan. Lastly, claiming God's plan. Notice what it says in verse 25, and I love this verse. God, remember, he's been praying. So he gets to this, he's ending his prayer, and he says, "And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy me the field for money, and take witnesses, for the city is given into the hands of Chaldeans." God, you asked me to buy this property, and this property is in a place that's going to be taken over by the enemy for 70 years. But God, you said to do it. You know, I can rejoice in that. Let me just apply it to what God's called my family to do. God called us to Scotland to start Free Baptist Church, and maybe other churches. I praise God that I can go to God and say, God, this is your plan, not mine. This is your idea, not my idea. God, this is how you've directed our church. God, this is your plan. Praise God tonight. We can just go to God and say, God, you've got this because it's your plan. God, you're going to take care of it. Remember Peter? Peter said to the Lord, if it's you, bid me come. But he said, if you're standing in the boat and Jesus is on the water, if it's you, bid me come. Jesus says, it's me, come. And he steps out, he's walking on the water, the storm's there, the waves are going up and down, and I imagine he's kind of going like this. He takes his eyes off the word and begins to sing. But does Jesus let him sing? He stepped out by faith. He has to fail. But Jesus was never going to let him drown. Jeremiah took a step of faith. Was it for his failure? No, it was for a testimony to the power of God and faithfulness of God. Someday, when they got back into the land, they would open up that vessel and they would see the land that Jeremiah purchased by faith, because Jeremiah believed God. Nobody else did. But Jeremiah did. Do you know what? If we lay a cornerstone, maybe we ought to put something in there as a testimony to future generations that we believe God. That God did it, that God had it, that God was working, and that testimony that it was God's plan and not man's plan. But for us in our life, you know what? It's a good thing for us to make that decision, but then go to prayer and say, God, this is not my plan. This is your plan. And so God, you've got to make this succeed. You know, back when we bought that house, it was a big faith step for us to try to split off the property and try to sell it. Long story, very short, God led us to do that through this text, to take that step of faith, to have the land surveyed, to go to the town council to get the land rezoned so that we could split the side yard off to make it a separate buildable lot. I got to the town council, and the people in front of me had an argument with the town council. There was some hot tempers. And I'm just thinking, oh man, I'm next. And I stood up and I just said, you know, I really believe that that area should be zoned residential. It had been zoned originally commercial, but there were reasons why I could share with them and say, I really believe it ought to be rezoned. I've got these neighbors, they agree with me, we'd like it to be rezoned residential. It's important for us to be able to sell our properties in the future. And they said, yes. I met a lady on the council later, and she said to me, as I was doing evangelism, I was inviting her to visit our church. She said, if you're as good at convincing people about God as we're as convincing the council, I ought to come to your church. I'll just say this, God did it. Because God led it in it. We bought a travel trailer, a brand new unit. By faith, 10 days after Logan was born, his home became a travel trailer. That was a mobile caravan. 6 weeks after we got traveling, our house sold. A few weeks after that, our property sold. We paid off a brand new travel trailer and a used truck. We were debt-free and we had some money to put towards our expenses. We had no income except for what churches gave us in love offerings, but we were just starting out. We didn't even have meetings for the first several weeks. God totally provided. Obviously, we're here. God used that text way back then to lead us to where we're at today. You know, I wonder tonight, if you think about it, what's God speaking to your heart about? As a church, it's location. That's a big thing for us right now. There's going to be a step of faith that we've got to take. There's going to be other things like that in our ministry, getting people to step up into leadership roles and opportunities that God has. There's going to be faith steps for individuals. But it could be tonight a decision of salvation. It could be tonight a decision of baptism. It could be a decision to surrender, to say to God, okay, God, you've been speaking my heart about this for a long time. I really believe, God, that you, if first of all, want me to surrender. Secondly, maybe surrender to ministry. Maybe tonight, God convinced you, you know, this isn't just a desire, this is of God. Could be. Or any other thing that the Spirit of God's speaking to us about, maybe about an area of sin that we need victory over, we need to deal with that and get that out of our life as a faith step. Maybe it involves a friendship. Maybe it involves a relationship. Maybe it involves identifying with Christ in a very clear way that's going to be tough. But to take that step in obedience to God, how? Get your directions from God. Confirm your directions from God. Follow your directions from God. Believe your directions from God. Then go to God in prayer and say, God, you've got this because God, you're God. And I claim this before you. God, help us to make some faith purchases. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that the Spirit of God tonight would speak to hearts. And Father, I love this text. I've enjoyed tonight sharing it with our church because it's so important to everything that is going on in our church. But Father, it's also important what's going on in our families. It's important what's going on in individuals' lives tonight. I just pray this right now, Lord, for our church to consider, is God speaking to my heart? And is it definitely God? Father, it's a very clear area from the Bible that we know it's God. If it's salvation, we need to get saved. If it's baptism, we need to get baptized. If it's church membership, we need to join the church, because that's what the Word of God teaches. But Father, if it's surrender, that's also what God teaches. If it's dealing with sin, that's what God teaches. We know that's God. We know it's the Spirit of God. And so, Father, we've got to follow. We've got to step up by obedience and make that faith purchase and make a transaction with God. And so, Father, I pray for that tonight. And then, Father, maybe somebody tonight can say to reclaim something. Father, they made a decision and they just got to keep it. Keep it in a position of faith. And go to the truth of who God is and say, well, God's got this, God led, God guided, God directed. And Father, you encourage your heart, your faithfulness, your power to help with it. So, God, help the Spirit of God speak in our hearts. We pray, Lord, for decisions. We pray, God, you'll be glorified as we sing a hymn of invitation.